Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Astonishing Legends Network.
Disclaimer: this episode includes the usual amount of adult language and graphic discussions you've come to expect around here. But in the event it becomes an unusual amount, expect another call from me.
Welcome back to the second part of our email reply-aganza. Our throats are sore, but our hearts are full.
My body is broken. My ears are bleeding. I needed that Hatman palate cleanser. But you know what? We're back, and we're never waiting this long to reply to emails ever again.
Lesson learned. Lesson learned. Should we dive right back in?
Kill me, please. I mean, yes.
What are we?
Scared.
When are we?
All the time.
Join us.
Now it is
time for Scared Time.
All right, here we go. Next email. This is from Jeff. Jeff says, "Hey y'all, enjoying the podcast. The latest brought me back to my time in North Central New Mexico, living in a basement room of a shared rental that had a window box that was ground zero for some of the biggest black widows I'd ever seen.
Oh my God.
One had a belly as wide as my thumbnail. I get you have no idea what that means. Trust me, that is fucking big for a widow in that part of the world. I mean, yeah.
I think if it's a baby's thumbnail, it's too big for me.
Yeah.
I don't need my spider sizes compared to anything above the subatomic level.
True. Yeah. Once it's visible, it's too big.
Too big.
For a real creep factor, take a gander at redheaded centipedes. Those bastards were there too, and although are not venomous, they have a hell of a bite, hunt mice, and grow about an inch a year for up to 10 years.
Oh my God.
And all those legs. Hunt mice.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Holy shit.
That's at least as wide as a toenail.
Yeah. Yeah, that's at least, you're getting multi-toenail widths, I feel like, on those guys. Off topic, if you want to explore the dangers of Australia, check out the venom of box jellyfish. That shit is proto-nuclear and pain and death. And the question arises, why would an animal that hunts tiny marine life evolve that level of toxicity? I would imagine the toxicity isn't so much for the hunting of the tiny marine life as it is a defense from being eaten by larger marine life, would be my guess. But I'm not a marine biologist. Take care. If you're ever in the Madison, Wisconsin area and need a place to crash for the night, let me know. My floor is yours.
This email got to me a year too late, huh?
I guess so. You needed to be there, huh?
No, I think actually I think this person did reach out. I think someone in Madison did say when I was driving across the country, like, hey, if you're coming through Madison, I wasn't going to go like that far west in the path I was going on at that time. But I did eat a Kringle this morning. So that's a thing.
That, I guess that'll register for our Midwest listeners.
Or at least that part. They got Great Lakes listeners, at least.
Well, here's another Jeff from Wisconsin. Visit Wisconsin from Jeff. Well, I guess we're not saying the last name.
It depends. It always depends.
Hi, guys. I just listened to the episode on spiders and was excited to hear you were interested in visiting Wisconsin. So Jeffs of Wisconsin, rise up. I live near Green Bay and thought of a place in Oshkosh with numerous venomous critters called M-toxins. If you were going to do a part two of spiders or continue further with other venomous critters like snakes, I believe they were still open in 2023. I haven't been able to verify if they're still open. This is one of a few places to milk snakes for making anti-venom.
Like the public can do it?
Yeah. Is this like a thing that like after you and the boys go axe throwing, you can go milk snake venom?
Yeah. It kind of sounds like when we would go to like on the Northeast, you'd have those like old colonial town things that everyone still acts that way when you're there, and you can like make rope or your own candle.
I'm laughing imagining the news reporting that somebody robbed the venom bank and wondering where that venom would end up someday. Whether or not you revisit spiders in some way, I'll still wait for whatever subject comes up in your next episodes. A listener from episode one, Jeff. Awesome. Thank you, Jeff.
That's so crazy. Two Wisconsin Jeffs. Both listening to spiders.
Back to back on the spider episode. All right. Next email that we didn't get back to when we should have. This is podcast topic suggestion, Dumbs, D-U-M-B-S. Hey, guys. Robbie here. He's a member. Shout out, Robbie.
Hell yeah.
Shout out, premium member, Robbie.
Love it.
Have you guys heard of the conspiracy of deep underground military bases? Dumbs for short. Yes, I have. Ed, have you?
No. It makes me think of like Andromeda Strain or something where you have these like secret underground bases.
Yeah.
But I know like we live by like a Nike site, you know, where like a missile base, like a missile site. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It was where like underground missiles would be. They decommissioned one a couple towns over from me as a kid and turned it into a park where like you can go on swing sets and shit.
Okay.
And that's the closest I have in terms of like a weird underground military installation.
Well, deep underground military bases are sort of a little bit like, they're not like hollow earth theory, but it's sort of this theory that there's a vast underground network of military bases where, you know, the world is really being run. And I think they came up a bit during COVID. Remember when QAnon, when they brought those Navy ships to New York City during COVID and they were taking bodies out of the hospitals, there was a little bit of QAnon theorizing that that was cover for rescuing satanically trafficked children from an underground military base in New York City.
First I'm hearing of it.
Yeah, well, you got to keep your ear to the ground, literally.
Ah.
But Robbie says, Dumbs, or deep underground military bases, definitely fit best with the conspiracy theory topic, but when you add in nefarious, unaccountable, secret government entities, possibly aliens, possibly demons, possibly fallen angels, you name it, it gets higher on the fear tier for me.
I never watched the movie Michael. Is that what that's about?
No. Michael is about an angel, but it's not about a fallen angel. You get a lot of crossovers with satanic panic and alien abductions to the point of the government being accused of being responsible for the abduction phenomenon. But I understand if it goes a little bit too conspiratorial for your show specifically. Thanks for being super responsive on Insta. Super fun interacting with you all. Hope to see you live someday. You guys rule.
Oh, that's fun. So this is a person who it took us a year to get back to them, but they actually knew a way to get in contact with us, which is a way faster way to talk to us. It's just on like Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, it's signed Robbie in California at Robiticus on the gram. So
okay, sure.
Nice. Instagram is much faster, is a much better way, it turns out, to get in touch with us.
Although if it's anything that's like longer than a fucking couple sentences, definitely still use our email.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna open your shit on Instagram if it's like, here's 63 links about fucking dolls I wanted you to see. It's like, no, just shoot us an email with that.
True. This next email is called The Worst Buried Alive in Film from David. Hey, all. First of all, spoiler alert, I'm about to ruin a movie from 1988.
Okay, here we go. Let's see what movie.
Just started listening to the new episode, and y'all were talking about getting buried alive in movies. I just recently watched The Vanishing, and it ends with a man getting buried alive.
I'm gonna watch that tonight.
Oh, you are?
Oh, and actually not tonight, but it was on the list of the three movies that Dan chose to watch tonight. It was The Vanishing, it was The Borrower, and it was Death Wish 2 were the three options for tonight.
I don't think The Vanishing counts as schlock. I think it's like a classic, isn't
yeah,
it?
But I told you, our schlock parameters. I literally said this in the other episode. It's like other people will say,
no,
like,
I know.
As long
as
it falls into like these two tiny parameters, it counts as schlock for us. So anyway, tell it. I don't give a shit. I don't care.
All right.
The synchronicity of it is unusual.
David, we're spoiling a movie, not just for the listeners, but we are in real time spoiling a movie for Ed that he's about to watch in like 4 hours.
It was one of three movies that we chose that we were going to maybe watch tonight.
With his permission, This is what happens at the end of The Vanishing, Ed. The Vanishing ends with a man getting buried alive because he follows a sociopath to find out what happened to his fiance from years ago. Turns out she was buried alive by this psycho, and now this dude gets buried alive too. That's the ending of the movie, and it's incredibly fucked up and bleak. I couldn't stop thinking about it for weeks afterwards. Anyway, love your podcast and banter. Cheers, David.
So thanks for writing in just to ruin a movie for me and then leave. There's no other information that was provided.
Well,
no, it's thank you for that. I think I'm gonna skip the film now. It's like someone just the other day was like, should I watch Straw Dogs? And I was like, no. He's like, I heard it was like a classic. And I'm like, no, for real, skip it.
Straw Dogs and The Vanishing. I mean, The Vanishing is bleak, but it's a very good movie.
Look, defending my position, it would just be more spoilers. So let's just move on.
All right. Thank you, David. Next email here is from Redacted. Auto Cannibalism is the title of the email. Hey, guys, it's funny, interesting, nice to write you again. Just in case you don't remember, I wrote in for the Frog Poetry Contest. Yes, we got to do another poetry contest. That was fun.
It was.
Let's get Derek Brown on the horn.
Let's get a real person who understands poetry to judge it.
Yeah. Instead of us arguing about whether or not it was better because it rhymed.
Yeah, that was me. I did that.
I just wanted to tell you a quick story regarding something you spoke about during the second part of your cannibalism episode. So my ex-wife, who was very much into homeopathic remedies, had been doing some research about post-pregnancy things, specifically about how to increase breast milk supply. She had trouble with this issue with our first child and started taking fenugreek for it, which, funny enough, also makes your BO smell like maple syrup. Why did you divorce this woman? She smells like maple syrup.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, someone wrote on some kind of blog that eating one's placenta helped with that, and I'm sure other things as well. Once our second child was born, she told the doctors and nurses that she wanted it. I assume the placenta. She had to sign a waiver, and when we were able to leave the hospital, besides taking our newborn son, we also took with us a biohazard bag with the contents of said placenta. After a short period of time, she then, because frankly, I absolutely refused to participate in this nonsense and shenanigans, took the placenta. Imagine a round, veiny, 1-inch thick and 6-inch circumference testicle, washed off all that slimy nastiness in the sink, and proceeded to cook it in a pan.
That sounds gross, but it also sounds almost exactly like the stuff you pull out of a bird. Like when you buy like a turkey and they have that little bag of all the like giblets, yeah, and stuff where you're like, yeah, I guess you could do something with this. Otherwise, it's just in a bag. Like, it kind of feels like that's just the human equivalent.
Well, it keeps going. So she proceeded to cook it in a pan. We did not keep the pan, by the way, until it became like broiled liver without any blood. Once this shit cooled down, she crushed it up, put it into pills, and then ingested said placenta-filled pills. Disgusting, vomit emoji, but apparently it worked, LMFAO.
Oh no! So you're sitting there rolling your eyes at something, and you're like, oh, come on. And then it actually like fucking crushes, and now you have to sit there like an asshole the whole time. Like, yeah, that's on me. I was wrong.
This was a roller coaster. I went from like, what are you doing? You should have stayed in this marriage, to I get it, to hey, maybe you were wrong, bud.
This is why you should read to the end of everything. It's like those tests they gave you as a kid where like all you had to do was not take the test. You got like a fucking A. Remember that? Because if you had read the full instructions, then you would see that all you had to do was write your name or whatever.
Yeah, it was about teaching you to read the instructions.
We didn't commit that to memory.
No. Well,
Redacted
finishes this email saying he loves the show. You guys are the first podcast I've written into and supported. I look forward to your podcast each week, and I'll try to show up for your live show. I work all the damn time and can't always get off by the time this show happens. Be well, and let me know what you think of the story.
Well, we're letting you know right now.
Oh, wait, shit. And then the follow-up, though, was, for an anonymity's sake, just leave out my name.
I can literally bleep all that out, but then, like, tones.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you,
Redacted,
for being a subscriber and for writing in. And he also did ask in his follow-up here if we're going to read the poem entries on the show.
Oh, because we did ask everyone if we can read them.
Yeah.
And then never did anything with it.
Well, that'll show us.
We'll have to do anniversary special part 3.
Yeah, someday we may read those poems on the show. For now, we're just reading emails, but hold tight. All right. Thank you, Anonymous. Next email is from Christy, 5 stars. I think this is just a review. Hello, Chris and Ed. I listen to you on Spotify, therefore can't write a review, but you do have 5 stars from me.
Okay, thanks.
I'm a big fan of Astonishing Legends, so I figured I would give you guys a listen. I have extreme anxiety, and I was a little worried that would make things worse, but you guys actually have the opposite effect. Your detailed research, sticking to science and facts with an undertone of humor, really helps ground these fears down to a logical level. I highly recommend anyone to listen. Some of my most scariest scenarios are being in dark places, and I can't do perfect darkness, which is super silly and embarrassing for a woman in her early 40s. No, it's not. That's, I think, for anyone, being in perfect darkness is pretty frightening. And then sleep paralysis and socializing with others. As you can probably gather, I am a super hoot to be around, lurking in a bright corner of a room, vowing to never sleep. I'm not creepy, though. At least I don't think I am. Oh no, another fear, LOL. Not sure if these would be something worth an episode, but you guys have done well so far picking topics. Keep up the great work. I look forward to every week to a new episode, and I love the frogs. Christy M., also from PA.
Shit, Christy. A couple things. One, I'm glad the email didn't end with, my largest driver of my anxiety, though, is not hearing back from people. And then the other thing is, I talked to my brother today, and he was like, hey, I'm listening to the new episode. What the fuck is this noise in every episode? Like, what I'm driving is, it's like my car, and I'm like, oh no, he's a premium subscriber. And I was like, I think you put the frog feed accidentally, like that's the one you downloaded. He obviously has the same aversion to frogs as I do. It's genetic.
But some people love the frogs. I love the frogs.
No, and I love that for people, but it's like people who eat cilantro. It's like genetically some people that taste like fucking hand soap or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think genetically Vicolas don't like the frog noise because he was like, I don't know what the hell's going on. At first I thought my car was broken, and I'm like, no, I get it, man.
That said, if you're listening to this episode and you aren't a premium subscriber or you don't know what the frogs are, I have dart frogs, and for a period of time I was recording the show in the same room with them and they were very loud. So when we started the premium feed, we had heard from a lot of listeners, even though they annoyed Ed, a lot of listeners said, no, keep the frogs. So that's part of what's on our subscription service, is we have frog plus mode for every episode. So if you want to hear the gentle, soothing sounds like you're listening to this show in a rainforest, you are more than welcome to turn on frog plus mode. Don't feel like you have to listen to the show that way.
By any means. If you like it, you like it. There's two types of people. There are people who feel like when they listen to Frog Plus that they're in a rainforest. And then there's people like me who, when I listen to Frog Plus, it feels like I'm in a rainforest cafe where the waiter never fucking comes. And so I'm building anxiety and frustration over something. And so that's where I stand on it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for writing in. We're really glad that you like the show. And we hope that you're still listening, even though this email was from 6 months ago. New contact form entry from Christine. Christine says, just listened to Cannibalism Part 2 and was super excited to hear you cite Dr. Doug Owsley. I worked at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History for 4 years and had many interactions with Doug, including touring his lab and seeing some of his Jamestown work firsthand. Super fascinating.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, was super excited to hear you cite his work. That's awesome. See, this is one of the benefits of having a well-resourced and well-sourced show is stuff like this. I'm glad that you recognized Dr. Owsley's work. It was super helpful in putting the episode together. And if you still know him and you want him to come on the show or something, hook us up.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just nice to be that many fewer degrees between people.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Christine. Great email. This next email is from Matt, subject Twisters. Chris and Ed, love you guys and wanted to share some info. First off, the air raid sirens you heard as a kid, Chris, probably were just the fire department. Oh, interesting. I live not far from the PA line in the little town of Northeast Maryland. Our fire department is a volunteer department, and the siren is a call to action for those off duty. Having formerly lived outside of town limits 3 miles into the woods, we could even hear it there, though not as loud as we do now living in town. Okay, so maybe that weird siren noise was just genuinely the fire department, like my mom said. My second point is for Ed, and is about tornadoes in Connecticut. I grew up in the city of Meriden, Connecticut. And when I was a kid in the late 70s, a tornado struck the Windsor Locks area near Bradley International. I think it killed a couple of people and even wiped out about 20 historic planes that were on display at the New England Air Museum that is near the airport. For years, when visiting the museum, the twisted wrecks of the planes were lined up along the road leading to the place. Thanks for a great and highly entertaining podcast. Love it even more now that I figured out how to get all the frogs to play on Spotify.
Oh my God. Let's go. This is why we do it. This is why me, a person who does not care for the frogs, still puts in that extra work to make sure that we have a Frog Plus mode every week.
Two positive frog emails in a row. And this is from Matt. He's a producer level. So thank you, Matt. We're very sorry it took so long to get back to your email. This is funny. We emailed everybody to ask if we could use the story on the show and said, if you reply to this email to let us know that you don't, we'll leave it on the cutting room floor. And Matt said, go for it. And then followed up 5 hours later, by go for it, I mean, please feel free to read my email, not go for it and leave it on the cutting room floor. Do not do that.
Yeah, you gotta. That's the same exact follow-up email I would have also sent.
Yes. So thank you very much, Matt, for being a producer and for that information about Twisters. I think I actually may have visited that Air Force Museum with my grandparents because that sounds very familiar, the lined up planes. That I feel like I've at least seen a photo of that if they weren't still there. Twister episode from Lenny. Oh, this is me getting spanked. We heard this from a few people. Hey, been listening since episode one when your podcast was advertised on Astonishing Legends. You said there hasn't been any F5 tornadoes, but LE Manitoba had an F5 in 2007. Environment Canada has since started using the EF scale, so technically it's the only F5 in Canada, maybe the world? Thanks, Lenny. So maybe that's the confusion. A bunch of people reached out to say, yes, there have been F5 tornadoes. Maybe my research was wrong because I wasn't properly making the distinction between F5 and EF5. I'm not sure. I don't know how that fell through the cracks, but I do apologize that that was a very obvious incorrect fact from me. All right. What? Cannibals in my own backyard? From Jordan. Hello, I'm a longtime listener and enjoyer of your podcast. I just got caught up on the cannibal episodes and wanted to share my weird connection with it. I grew up in Williamsburg, Virginia, which is a close neighbor of Jamestown, what we call the Historic Triangle, along with Yorktown. Beautiful place to visit if you like history. If you're visiting, you'll most likely walk into a grocery store and see a person in colonial clothing. I promise it's not a ghost, just a person picking up chips and salsa after their shift in colonial Williamsburg. Well, do you promise? Do you know that? I feel like there's a chance. There's a chance. Anyway, having a historical hometown means you get to take lots of field trips to the settlements. Got to experience walking through the historic Jamestown settlement as an 11-year-old thinking, wow, I'm glad I wasn't alive in the 1600s.
Same. I have the exact same feeling at Sturbridge Village,
yep.
Which is like our kind of local, you know, always had to go on a field trip as a kid. We're just like, fuck, this sucks, dude. And that was before cell phones. And I was like, this is a bummer.
Yeah, this Jordan tells us no toilets, YouTube, or silly bands. That was my era of childhood. I was an avid collector of silly bands and probably had 10 on my wrist. I don't know the era of silly bands.
Does that mean like slap bracelets?
YouTube or silly bands.
YouTube would be well after slap bracelets. Yeah.
So this person is younger than us. I vaguely remember hearing about a girl near my age being found with her face eaten off. Very family-friendly experience. Another reason to add to my list of why I wouldn't want to be alive then. Surprisingly, this wasn't my first time hearing of cannibalism because I remember vividly my first time hearing of it. I was told a horrifying story at the age of 8, ironically on a swing set that was probably 5 miles from where real cannibalism actually happened. A girl a couple years older than me said, "Hey, do you know what cannibals are?" As most 8-year-olds would, I said, "No, what's that?" She then proceeded to tell me a story that at the time I thought was very true. I'm ashamed to say that I would have been the 8-year-old telling you this story. I think I would have been the, "Hey, have you heard of flesh eating?" Her story was called Cannibal Island, evocative name, and it goes that there was this girl that lived on an island, and one night she's in her bed. She usually lets her dog sleep under her bed, and that night she hears a dripping noise in the bathroom that scares her, so she puts her hand down under the bed to reach for the dog to comfort her. Oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah, this is so me too, yeah.
She receives a reassuring lick to her hand that makes her feel comfortable enough to go back to sleep. Later, she gets up and goes to the bathroom where she finds her dog dead in the bathtub. Okay, but justice for the dog, WTF. And on the wall says, "Humans can lick too," written in blood. She runs from her room and is attacked and then eaten. Not a true story, of course, but this is an actual urban legend, and this girl just added the cannibal element to it.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's why both of us were like, we know where this is going.
Yeah, it scared the hell out of me, and for weeks my mom had to convince me that cannibals were not coming to eat me in the night in our very suburban neighborhood. In hindsight, Mom, the cannibals really weren't that far from us, and they did eat little girls, just in a different era, but whatever. So in conclusion, I spent a lot of my childhood unreasonably scared of cannibals, so at a time it was high on my fear tier. Thanks for listening to my story. Also, if you ever do an episode on cannibalism again or on urban legends or cryptids, you should talk about Wendigos. It's a fascinating and horrifying mythical creature from Native American mythology. Basically, it's what a human becomes when it craves human flesh and eats another human. Sincerely, a girl who is thankful she wasn't born in the 1600s. P.S. Don't stick your hand under your bed because it might not be your dog under there. New fear unlocked.
Shit, dude.
Well, it's never my dog under there because I don't have a dog. It's Ed.
Shit, I've been found out. Well, I heard how good it is to sleep at the foot of people's beds in a sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we learned from that guy's Hatman story.
Yeah.
So I've been trying it under your bed at your house.
All right. So this next email comes to us from Sandra and is titled "Ted the Caver as a Found Footage YouTube Series." So this is related to, in the caves episode, we talked about how Ted the Caver was the first creepypasta that I ever was obsessed with.
Gotcha, yeah.
So Sandra says, "Hey fellas, listening to the caves episode right now and the mention of Ted the Caver, ... I had to drop you guys a note to let you know that someone has filmed it as a found footage series and released episodes on the same dates that the quote blog entries were posted. I have so far only watched this Nightmind video about it," and she linked to a YouTube video.
I think I know Nightmind. I think they do cool stuff.
Well, they've done one called "Ted's Caving Journal, Digital Horror Legacy to Analog Horror Glory."
Nice.
And she says there's a playlist for the series linked in the description of the Nightmind video. Enjoy. Cheers, Sandra. So we should check that out. We should give it a watch during Halloween season.
Yeah, well, we're there, so.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I love that story. I'm very curious to see. It feels like in some ways it would definitely work as found footage video horror, but also so much, if I remember the story correctly, so much of what was really effective about it was like the stuff you didn't see, the growing dread, the description of the footsteps in the house and all that kind of stuff. So
sure.
Well, thank you, Sandra. Thank you for writing in. Let's go to the next email here from Wesley. And he says, fan story is the email. Wesley says, "Hey guys, I just listened to your episode on poison and loved it. I was a little sad, however, to find you guys didn't talk about people drinking ether. I think it would have been a good addition to the alcohol section."
Oh man, did we well, not? Is that not part and parcel?
I feel like it kind of came up briefly, but I guess if Wesley's writing to us that it didn't, maybe it didn't. I definitely was reading a lot about drinking ether as I was researching, so maybe it hit the research cutting room floor. He says, "Besides that, I thought the episode was great. It reminded me of my own story of self-inflicted poisoning." Okay, here we go.
Right, here's Wesley's mistakes. Let's hear it.
"When I was 19, I was changing the clutch on my 93 Chevy, and before..." Oh, this sounds like you, Ed.
That's pretty good.
"A gearhead."
Okay, whatever.
"And before putting the transmission housing back on, I decided to clean it with brake cleaner. Without knowing what I was doing, I lay there underneath the car, aiming the spray upwards at the transmission, and I went to town," in all capital letters. He says, "I probably used too much because the can was pretty full when I started, and I went until I ran out.
Yeah.
When I finished, I cleaned up my mess and got out from under my car to be met with one of the worst headaches of my entire life. Probably because my face was directly underneath the dripping grease and brake cleaner splattering everywhere and evaporating. I also wasn't wearing any kind of mask, so all those fumes were inhaled like a junkie hitting Sharpies. This monster headache was quickly followed by dizziness, and although I didn't puke, I was not okay. I drank some water, finished cleaning up, and went home because I couldn't continue working after that. This experience followed me for almost 2 weeks as it turned into a fever, and my throat was burned on the inside from the chemicals making it uncomfortable.
Oh my God. Yeah, we had that chlorinated brake cleaner or whatever.
Yeah, it says, he says the chemicals made it uncomfortable to eat, or the burning from the throat made it uncomfortable to eat or drink. Luckily, I recovered without any lasting effects, but it just goes to show there's a reason for the warning labels about protection and working in a well-ventilated area.
Yeah, no, he's just huffing it out of a bag at that point.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the Chevy's working. That took the Chevy to the levee.
He took the Chevy to the levee, and the levee was full of brain-altering chemicals.
Yeah, dude. Well, hopefully the Chevy's working back on the road, even if you aren't.
Yes. Thank you, Wesley, for writing in.
Glad it didn't do enough damage where you can't type an email.
Yeah. Our next email comes to us from Jess, titled Seriously Fuck Caves. And there's a YouTube video linked here that the thumbnail that's coming up in my email, the only text I can see says re-uploaded hole. So,
well, this is not a Pornhub link. It's a very different fuck caves.
Yeah, I was going to say. That
would be seriously fuck caves. Like, they're out there. There's parties going on in there.
Yeah.
It's all about the inflection in the link.
And the placement of the comma.
No, because it could still be the same. The comma could be the same place, right?
Yeah,
seriously,
true.
Comma, fuck caves.
Yes.
Or seriously, comma, fuck caves.
Yeah. You're right.
Like, one person's anti-cave, the other person's like, I just found out about the most incredible cave. That is the difference.
Ed, if podcasting doesn't work out, you have a bright future ahead of you as a school's oldest English teacher.
I'd be the oldest English teacher?
No, I'm kidding. You'd be the oldest new English teacher.
That's true. I mean, I'm available, so let me know if anyone listening has a spot at their school. And that's not even a joke. Just let me know. I'll happily come teach a creative writing class at your school.
Still have plenty of time to work on the show. Yeah, why not? Same here. If you want us to teach creative writing classes, sure, we're available.
Yeah, hit us up. We'll go to anywhere that needs it.
All right. So Jess says, hiya, boys. I know you guys already covered this topic, but my favorite story about a dude who died a terrible death in a cave is Floyd Collins. He died like 100 years ago in what is now sort of, maybe not quite, Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. He was a terribly poor man trying to make it rich by finding a new entrance to Crystal Cave on his land. Spoiler alert, he didn't, or at least not one literally anyone but him could fit through. For like 12 days, he was stuck with a 25-pound rock on his leg before he finally died. And it gets worse. The four best words in Scared All the Time broadcasting, and it gets worse.
And it gets worse. Did you say a 25-pound rock?
Yeah.
Just move it. It's 25 pounds. It must be a situation where, yeah, maybe a situation where you're wedged or something. But
could be wedged.
25 pounds. You don't have to be that square.
Could be wedged, or could be that it was supposed to be 250-pound rock and they just left the zero off.
Makes some sense.
But it gets worse. After he died, his friend paid some miners to exhume his body and have it properly buried. But his dad, remember, poor, let some dude pay him to dig up his son so he could display the body in a glass coffin in his cave. When the National Park System purchased that dude's cave, they didn't put Floyd to rest until 1981. Like, WTF. Oh, and the whole rescue attempt was an absolute shit show.
Oh my God. So I don't completely follow parts of this.
So yeah, let's unpack here. Floyd tried to find a new entrance. He squeezed through some entrance that no one else could fit in except for him. He was stuck wedged with a rock on his leg for 12 days before he finally died. And then after he died, his friends paid some miners to take the body out of the cave and have it properly buried. But his dad was then paid to dig up his son for a different guy who wanted to display Floyd's body in his cave.
This is not the first time you've heard of a body brought to a glass case on this show to, like, be on display.
For most of history, if you had a body that you could throw in a glass case, that was a resource. That was a resource you could build a job around.
That's what this guy was doing. He's like, I'll pay top dollar for this shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I found a body and I was like, no one wants this body, I'd find something to do with it.
Sounds like people wanted it. The dad was burying it, but the dad wanted money more than a dead son.
Yes.
So he was like, yeah, go throw Floyd in the bodies exhibit of the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun. So is Floyd still available for us to come check out?
Hold on one second. Okay. So now this email jumps around a little bit.
Oh, I thought it was done. Okay.
No. Anyways, love your show and the frogs. I used to work with frogs at a community college and I kept them alive until dissection day. I made the head of department do that part because F them for making me take care of frogs for a semester before helping pin them out for education. Yes. Amen, sister. Sorry, I might be drunk, but the sounds of your frogs threw me down memory lane. Jess sounds fun.
Jess does sound fun.
Here's some scoop on Floyd. The internet historian had a fun recreation, and the Dollop podcast covered it like a lifetime ago.
There you go. Yeah, the Dollop's been around forever. I love the Dollop. You know, and I actually played Jackbox games with Gareth during lockdown, and he's such a funny dude.
Yeah, I bet. And then if I may be so bold as to recommend a Fear Tier episode, Radiation Sickness. You may be so bold, Jess.
That sounds like a gross one.
We'll probably do that in a season or two. Invisible, painless at first, and then your body slowly dies around you. Pain medication can do nothing to ease your suffering, and your blood vessels dissolve until you are just a bag of blood, bile, and whatever you ate last. Midnight in Chernobyl by Adam Higginbotham describes it in vivid detail. Sleep tight.
And the Chernobyl miniseries shows it really grossly. They really show it so gross. That's a good miniseries.
Yeah, it's a really good miniseries, and it is very gross. So sleep tight, Jess. And then we can read Jess's follow-up here, too, because we emailed to see if we could use these emails, and she actually sent us back more than a yes. She said,
I might be drunk.
She said, holy shit, you're real people. I've only ever emailed 3 podcasts in my life and none of them responded. But yes, you can totally read my email. I scoured my old Facebook posts for pictures of the frogs, but I apparently only took pictures of the mice I had to bring home during winter break. Sorry, Chris. They were cool and very green. Rest assured, they were humanely euthanized before dissection. I checked, and that professor no longer works at the college. I can't imagine why. And hopefully the biology department gave up on frog dissections. Although I hope they kept the sheep eyeball dissections, because that 5-gallon bucket of eyes was the funniest hazing ritual for new lab employees.
Oh, my God.
A 5-gallon bucket of eyes also sounds like a lot of fun. I feel like there's just endless goofs and cut-ups that you can get up to with a...
Do you think she's raising these mice to just be like, have cancer put in them or something? She just keeps getting duped into raising small things to be put through the lab. She's like, oh, fuck it. Give me a bunch of frogs you're going to kill. Shame on you.
Yeah. Give me a bunch of mice that are 90% a 25-pound tumor and 10% a mouse attached to the top of it.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure Jess has a huge heart, and that's why she always ends up with these animals.
But also, when they keep taking your pets away to kill them, that's why you drink.
Yes. She says, oh, and congrats, Chris. Babies are so hard, but I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. Prepare to be more tired than you ever thought possible, and prepare to be loved more than any human deserves from a 6-year stay-at-home mom. Oh, that's very sweet. And Ed, Jesus, be careful. Good luck with physical therapy, and do the exercises. You'll only be cheating yourself if you skip them.
Hey, go.
She says she needed physical therapy after the birth of my firstborn. Do the exercises.
Sure.
She says, best of luck. You'll both need it, Jess. So thank you, Jess.
Thanks, Jess. And if we start making a lot less episodes, it's probably because he's too fucking tired.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
All right, what do we got here? Opening up another email from Chris. The title of the email is Forward Daily Star, Fredericksburg, Virginia, February 24th, 1896. Chris says, "Men, you two mentioned on your cave episode you might do a mine episode. Well, here's a story I found a few years ago. Enjoy." And then he links to a Google newspaper story called Mystery of a Mine that is probably a little too long to read in this.
We are not reading the links, damn it. We are just reading the email.
He says, "By the way, I regularly scroll through Google newspaper archive from the earliest to latest, and there's some amazing and weird stories, like Truman and Eisenhower saying Hitler escaped to South America and didn't kill himself. Literal newspaper headlines in 1944 or 45. That's insane. I need to find that. If it wasn't 11:20 on a Saturday and I wasn't toasted, I'd give a couple more examples. Cheers, CB." So cheers to you, Chris. Thank you for sharing this. I'm going to hunt down this Truman and Eisenhower saying Hitler escaped to South America.
Get it tattooed on yourself.
I always thought that was just like an urban legend. I didn't realize that Truman and Eisenhower were putting that out there.
I don't know. We don't know what the periodical is yet until you find it.
Yeah. All right. So then we have an email from Lisa writing in about the cave book that I was trying to remember. You may remember on our caves episode, I very poorly described a book that I have a faint memory of reading as a kid, and it's always been stuck in my brain and I've never been able to figure it out.
Did Lisa find it?
No.
Okay.
She says, "Hey guys, just listening to your caves episode, is the book you were recalling possibly Land of the Lost? I never read the book, but your description sparked me to remember the Saturday morning TV show for kids. According to Wiki, it originally ran 74 to 76 and again 85 to 87 when I would have seen it. I totally dug the show, would get all hyped up to watch, hoping the Sleestak would be featured in the episode. They were these walking fish alien looking dudes. Sadly, they weren't in many episodes. Anyway, maybe that's your mystery book. Keep up the good work. Love listening to and laughing along with you cats, Lisa." So thank you, Lisa. It's not Land of the Lost, although I do think it's possible that Land of the Lost got in that blend in my brain somewhere, because I definitely wrote some books in like first and second grade, like these sort of Land of the Lost style adventure books with a very Sleestak like character in them. And I don't remember ever watching Land of the Lost, but I must have, because it's the similarities are too great for those. So maybe the Sleestaks got mixed in my brain with a book or something. Also, the Land of the Lost movie with Will Ferrell is very funny and weird for a mainstream studio release.
I never saw it.
I recommend it. I mean, it's not the best movie I've ever seen, but it is like, wow, there was no oversight on this one. It just feels like they tried whatever they wanted.
It's like year one.
Yeah, it's the good version of year one, really, is what it is.
All right, what do we got next?
We've got Satanic Panic Part 3 up next from Jessup. Really hoping you guys do a new episode of this, and I had a suggestion. We're all ears, Jessup.
Because we have not done a new episode of it.
"I found your pod this week and absolutely loved it and have listened to almost every episode at my job now. I was wondering if you'd touch on Marilyn Manson at all in your Satanic Panic series. As a big fan of his art, I feel he is definitely a great talking point for that series because of his cultural significance on the topic. I also reached out to Marilyn to see if he'd like to jump on the show."
Okay.
Jessup, you didn't need to do that for us, bud.
Shit, man, we got a street team out there.
Yeah, sounds like it. I don't know. We'll end up doing a third part and probably a fourth part. Satanic Panic's one of those that's like, there's so much interesting stuff there. Sure. But yeah, thank you, Jessup. Thanks for writing in. All right, next up, we have an email titled simply Garage Door from Paul. Hey, Chris and Ed, I have a short story about the dangers of the springs in garage doors.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to start by saying you've quickly become my favorite podcast, and congratulations to Chris for the news of your baby and Ed for cheating death.
Yeah, very good.
Round of applause.
Although, thank God it's not that you needed a death to bring a new kid into the world, or else I would have been gone.
I know.
We had to make space for this fucking kid.
If you keep narrowly dodging death, we're going to get the message from on high. So, Paul says, short story long, I was changing my up-and-over garage door to a barn-style door. Mm-hmm. I had hired a guy to help me remove the old door and take it away from me. We got the door off no problem, taking it down from the closed position so the springs were still ended tension.
Still under tension?
So the springs were still under tension, maybe. Yeah, he wrote ended tension.
They say every email should be like a jigsaw puzzle with a couple pieces missing. That's been our experience.
Laying it flat on the floor, this guy wanted to remove some of the remaining bracket to help it fit better into his trailer. Looking down at the door and the giant springs, the thought hit me that these huge springs are ready to go and there's no weight holding them in position anymore. So I lift my head to tell him I'd probably stop kicking the bits of bracket because these things are ready to go. No sooner had he said it will be fine, the spring closest to me just fucking exploded out, throwing the arm that lifts the door up straight past my face, hitting the peak of my cap, sailing straight past and ending by hitting him on the back of his arm. It made a slap like someone belly flopping into a pool.
Oh my God.
Making him stumble about for a little bit and then pass out from the pain.
Wow.
All while I was thinking, thank fuck that didn't hit me in the side of the head.
Yeah, it hit the fucking brim of his hat, though.
Yeah.
So crazy. That's so close.
I know. I feel like all the garage door disaster stories that I'd found online were all these, like, very close.
My mom hit us up after listening to that episode that a garage door spring slammed off and, like, broke the windshield of her car when my oldest brother was, like, a baby in the car.
Shit.
That it, like, broke the windshield of, like, their Buick or whatever.
I think maybe this happens a lot, and the people who haven't told us stories about it were just dead.
Yeah, they're dead. They have fatal spring injuries.
There's an FBI agent out there who's like, I'm looking for the garage beheading killer. He seems to strike in all states and just leaves a strange mangled head in his wake. And then he takes the garage door springs as a trophy of his victims.
Takes the whole garage door.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, he said, so anyway, I saw him a week later and it shattered his humerus and the bruise had traveled all over his arm.
There's nothing humorous about that.
If I can find the footage from my CCTV, I'll send it over. Please do. If you find that footage, hell yeah. I'd love to. I mean, we won't air it so that your friend's privacy is protected or whatever, but goddamn, I'd love to take a look at it.
Wait, we won't air it so that his privacy is protected. We would air it.
I'm saying to protect his privacy, we won't air it. I'll just watch it and you'll just watch it.
I see. Got you. Yeah.
He says, I'll send it over. Anyway, that's my story. Keep up the good work and I'm looking forward to what else you have coming up. P.S. I had to fast forward the part about aneurysms in the last episode. Fucking terrifying. Cheers, Paul. Paul, tell me about it. I'm still having nightmares about the aneurysms.
Yeah.
This next email is from Amy Daddy Long Legs.
That's the subject, or her name is Amy Daddy Long Legs?
Oh my God. No, that's the subject is Daddy Long Legs.
Okay, gotcha.
It's from Amy.
Okay.
Amy Daddy Long Legs sounds like a cool gang leader, though, or something.
It sure does. They would be in Death Wish, too.
What's up? Amy Daddy Long Legs has a message for you. yo, guys, so I'm being brave and listening to your spiders episode. I have gotten better about spiders lately because of TikToks about jumping spiders, so I'm cool with those little dudes. Absolutely. I think we talk about them on the episode, maybe. Jumping spiders are very cute, and they are all over TikTok. Other spiders can go straight to hell and rot there, but my true phobia is for daddy long legs. And I can attest, you can feel those nasty little spindly legs.
Oh, that sounds like you're quoting me.
Those reaching, probing, foul little filaments of horror that feel like a hair tickling you that is caught on your sleeve.
That stopped being my quote a while ago.
And I hate them. If, God forbid, one of those little bastards actually gets on me somehow, I will disrobe. Modesty be damned, and I don't care who is around. The clothes are coming off, and I will scream like Michael Myers is after me. Just thought I'd share. Just found the pod recently. Love it. I'll give it a 5-star review. Oh, and I got bit by a brown recluse in Rhode Island when I was a teenager. It was straight nasty, and I had to be on steroids and ABX for a month. I don't know what ABX is. I guess it's just another...
Probably just another type of medicine.
Yeah.
But weird that they're throwing so much hate at the, like, least intimidating, least can hurt you spider on the planet after dealing with the brown recluse.
I know. It's like, she's like, yeah, I fucking daddy long legs. I hate them. I'll strip my clothes off if I feel one touch me. Oh, by the way, this other spider, I almost lost my arm.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
We're cool, though.
Amy Daddy Long Legs is a very forgiving gang leader. We have them in Massachusetts also, even though the CDC says we don't have them up here. So I bet your cat did get bit by one in California, despite what the rangers say. Much love, Amy.
Shit, dude. Just exposed. Your cat's a victim of misinformation.
The only thing worse than being a victim of a necrotizing spider bite is being a victim of misinformation. Thank you, Amy Daddy Longlegs. We love you. Cassie sends us Quantum Immortality Story. Although now I just want to start making everybody Cassie Quantum Immortality Story.
Sure.
Just the first name and the title of the email.
It only kind of works with like no more than three words.
True.
Isn't Cassie Ant-Man's daughter's name and they deal with like they go into the quantum realm, quantum mania?
I don't know if that's Ant-Man's daughter's name. I was going to say Cassie Quantum Immortality sounds like the last character Stan Lee invented before he died.
There it is.
Anyway, Cassie says, hi, fellas. I was listening to the latest episode about sudden death. Your conversation around quantum immortality reminded me of a story I heard on the podcast Otherworld. Oh, big Otherworld fan here. I haven't listened to this episode. I say big Otherworld fan. I listened to the first like 20 or 30 episodes like obsessively. And then I don't know for whatever reason I fell off, but I really like that podcast. The episode is episode 16 entitled Everything Goes Black. Once again, I'm proven to be a liar. I don't remember this episode. And I just said I listened to the first 15 or 20. I'll have to go back and look. I thought you two would enjoy hearing this guy's firsthand experience with possible quantum immortality. If you already know about that podcast and the episode, then disregard this email.
Well, you can go ahead and say right now, you thought you did and you didn't. You don't remember the podcast or the episode now.
Wait, is this the episode about the guy who...
How am I going to help you in this? Who is this question now for?
This is Cassie. Cassie can call in on our next...
Cassie's not in the room with us.
Is Cassie in the room with you right now?
No, she's off doing quantum shit with Amy Longlegs.
Is this the... There's an episode where a guy like is hiking and then everything goes black and he wakes up somewhere else. But I don't think that's a quantum immortality story. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She says, Chris, congrats on the baby news. Ed, glad you're okay from your car accident. Love the pod. Warmly, Cassie.
We're getting close to these, getting close to the end, I guess. This is a pretty recent accident I had, so.
Yeah, we got two left. From 88, Taco as Whiskey is the title of this email. Hi, guys. Taco River was a terrible attempt to co-opt Whiskey River by Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
We've been told. I had to apologize for it profusely on the Facebook page. But 88 says, I know because my fiance Annabelle and I see Willie every time he comes around, which we did 2 days ago on Friday. And at 91 years old, he was the best we ever saw him, despite the ravages of age, which is such a wonderful thing for us. Because at this point, it's kind of like church for us and it'll be sad to see it end. I'm one of those weirdos who just loves old-time country music, and my girl is a child of Hong Kong American parents, and thus, despite being American herself, has no idea of American pop culture, let alone fucking country.
Which is weird, because I grew up in a country family. I've got a pretty deep well of knowledge in country, but yeah, Willie's just like a blind spot for me. Like, I would see Merle Haggard and Kris Kristofferson when they came to town and stuff. Like, I loved it. It's just, yeah, Willie is a blind spot for me, man.
Yeah, of all the kinds of country music, I do enjoy old-time country music the most. I would admit to being pretty out of touch with most country music, though. Anyway, 88 says, after years of casually playing my music without pushing it on her, I once wondered what her tastes were. I asked her, if you could see any artist, alive or dead, in a live show, who would it be? Without even hesitating, she blurted out, Hank Williams.
I know you said alive or dead, but like maybe say a name that we can go together next year.
I thought the answer was going to be Willie Nelson. I was surprised that the answer was Hank Williams.
Yes. Yeah. I also am surprised by that. Like an equally old timey country person who's definitely perished.
So for a genre that usually you couldn't get a wife to tolerate, how much more could I have won at life? She hates scary stuff, though, so she'll never meet you guys, but just be happy for me. And please never do another show as bad as Buried Alive. Fuck you.
Bad as in like it was unlistenable, or bad as you don't like that topic, or bad.
I think the topic scared him.
Maybe the audio, because we had a guest, so we have no control over their mic.
Oh, maybe. Well, anyway, love Sean. So thank you, Sean. I would have said your name earlier, but your email comes up as 88. So
yeah. Well, you know, I guess you hit the lottery in a lot of ways. Although I will say people have reached out to say that they're like, oh, I love scary stuff and spooky stuff. And my boyfriend or girlfriend fucking hates it. But like, this is the one show they listen to of my stuff because you guys aren't all about that spooky life. So
yeah,
maybe, you know, it sounds like you knew this person a while when they surprised you with that answer. So they might have a bunch of other surprises like, oh, we love Scared all the time.
It's possible. Maybe she's secretly listening to our show too. And they could have a, you know, he thinks something's going on. He's suspicious and he checks her phone and he's like, oh my God, she's been listening to Scared all the time for a whole year.
Yeah.
There's a couple follow-ups to this email because we asked if we could read it, and Sean wrote back and said, I'd be honored, guys. Thanks. Keep it up. You're one of like 3 to 7 podcasts that I'm disappointed every time there isn't a new upload, and obviously only sometimes when there is. Oh, so maybe he really did hate Barry.
He really
Live.
Might have just hated it. Yeah, this person, it's a huge delta, 3 to 7, that at any moment he'll turn his back on.
Keep it up. At my core, I identify more with the comedy writers than any other members of the entertainment world, so it's gotten to the point where I'm bored with any podcast, paranormal or otherwise, that doesn't correctly bring humor.
Oh.
Peace, S-A-T-T, Sax. Peace to you, Sean. And then he followed up again. Just for your information, Whiskey River is quite famously the song Willie Nelson begins every one of his shows with. It starts with a repetitive droning chord strum that sort of teases music, then just busts into the full song, so it's become a tradition. Other information you doubtlessly don't care about, come on now.
We're about to subject our whole audience to it, so go on.
Is he ends every show the same way, too, by playing Will the Circle Be Unbroken with every person who played in any band that event joining him on stage. Then it transforms into I'll Fly Away, which you may remember from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? For some reason, when something is that big a part of my life, it bothered me not to tell you. Well, thanks for telling us, Sean. That's pretty cool. Also timely, oh my God, I hadn't read this far. R.I.P. God bless Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, so there it is.
He was a huge friend of Willie's and part of country music, which officially ended for me in 1990 or so. Just so it's clear, I don't abide by that truck-fucking white nationalist garbage they pretend is country music today. Well, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, thank you. There it is. R.I.P. God bless. We don't know the whole set list of Willie's material. Glad we know it now. Happy you can get it off your chest. God, if you also loved Jim Thorpe, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, we would be. Yeah, we would be. All right. Well, Ed, this is the last email that we didn't reply to. So this is from Lisa. It's a new contact form entry. Hey, guys, love your show. Sinkholes episode. Old DJ Timmy Nelson that made up the song based it loosely on the Willie Nelson song Whiskey River. That's why he took the liberty of changing it from a lake to a river. So, the Godforsaken Spiders episode sucked from stem to stern. I felt the hoorah on the skin of my ankles throughout the entire episode. That damn murdered out Sydney Funnelweb asshole, I had to keep backing it up and re-listening to 113.40, where you were talking about how he asked for tints and to be matte black and God told him no, but Satan hooked him up. Hilarious.
Oh, okay, good. I thought she was, I'm like, God, if you like Willie Nelson, do you just fucking hate episodes of our show? Because she was like, this thing sucked. Also, you don't know anything about Willie Nelson. So I was like, fuck, 2 in a row?
Yeah.
I'm glad that she enjoyed that she was able to laugh a little bit at something she hates.
It gets better. I listened to that about 10 times and made my friends listen because it was so stinking funny. Thanks for making me laugh on something that is a number one for me alongside now, thanks to you, waking up during surgery. Screw that shit.
Oh, yeah.
She then follows up on spiders. They are so much worse than wasps or bees. You can shoo them away and outrun them. There's no shooing a damn spider. They just sneak creep out of whatever nasty little hole they ball themselves into and drop onto you like it makes perfect sense. And
like it makes perfect sense is a really funny sentence.
It's a good one, yeah. And they're just hanging out, living in your basement forever. Bees don't do that. Also, like you said, you don't even know what the heck bit you with the sneaky bastards. Sneaky ass assholes. Keep up the great work. You guys are so much fun, Lisa.
All right, thanks,
well,
Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
I walked into a spider web today.
Oof.
It was weird because I walked into a spider web and it was like got on my phone. I'm like, ugh. And it was like there was webs on my phone. But then I looked around and there was a bunch of dead bees everywhere.
I've seen some dead bees around.
And I was like, what's up with all these dead bees? And then I looked up at the spider web, which was pretty big. Like, there's an extended part beyond where I walked into. And there was like a bunch of dead bees in there too. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? out here. And I just went back in. I'm like, I can't even be around this.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead bees near my place, and they're not anywhere near spider webs. So
yeah, what's up with these dead lethargic bees? It's also the bees that weren't dead were just like coughing. If I can imagine they were coughing, they just looked like they were very weak. These were weak bees. I saw weak bees today.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm a little nervous about it. I'm hoping that it's not foretelling anything.
Yeah, like the happening?
Yeah, like the happening. Well, guys, this was so much fun.
For us, I mean, this is, I don't know, if anyone got to the end of the episode, shoot us an email we'll respond to next year and let us know if you got to the end, because holy smokes, this is, I haven't finished editing because we're recording, but this might be 450 hours long.
I love it. I think maybe we should start replying. You know, we've been doing 5-star reviews for a while now, and people really seem to respond to those. I don't know. I think maybe we should start doing, reading some of these emails. I don't know. It feels like a really nice community kind of thing. Like, maybe we'll do like 1 5-star review and a recent email we got or something, because you guys probably don't want to listen to 4 hours of this next year.
No, this is a one-off thing. This is an anniversary special. This is not, well, this is one part of presumably a couple anniversary special things coming out this month. But yeah, this would be horrendous to do as an episode again.
So we'll try to keep up. If we don't reply to you through email, because again, in our defense, we did reply to quite a few emails this year through email. We just didn't get to a lot of them. So, you know, but I think it might be better, instead of saving them all up, maybe we'll just start doing them more often. I don't know. But it's so nice to hear from you guys, what you like, even what you don't like. It's fun.
There's a good chance if you like Willie Nelson, you're not going to like every episode we do.
Why would you say that?
Because it was 2 Willie Nelson corrections in a row.
You're just saying statistically based, nothing about Willie Nelson fans.
No, just weirdly, there were 2 that sounded like, it ended up not even being that, but it just had verbiage that was sounded like, and hey, fuck this show. And so I was like, okay.
Sure. Okay, I gotcha. Well, we love you guys. Thanks so much for writing in. Thanks so much for listening. Join the premium over on Patreon if you haven't. Until next time, this has been part of the Scared All the Time anniversary special series. I'm Chris Colari.
And I'm Ed Vacola.
And we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Scared All the Time is co-produced by Chris Colari and Ed Vacola.
Written by Chris Colari.
Edited by Ed Vacola.
Additional support and keeper of sanity is Tess Feifel.
Our theme song is the track Scared by Perpetual Stew.
And Mr. Disclaimer is...
And just a reminder, you can now support the podcast on Patreon and get all kinds of cool shit in return. Depending on the tier you choose, we'll be offering everything from ad-free episodes, producer credits, exclusive access, and exclusive merch.
So go sign up for our Patreon at scaredallthetimepodcast.com.
Don't worry, all scaredy cats welcome.
No part of this show can be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Production.
Good night.
We are in this together.
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 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.